But good. It's either that or it's hot or coffee. Whatever. I'm sweating. It's the way it goes. Glad you guys are here. Thank you for being here on such a fun day for us. It would have been awesome if our team could have done this last Sunday, but it wasn't possible. A half of them were here. The other half weren't. And the ones that were here, they were in kind of needed comas. And so traveled a lot, did a lot. Look forward to you guys hearing about all of this and seeing some videos. Two of our folks couldn't be here today, but they're going to pipe in via video. I think the technology is going to work, so tried to eliminate all the hurdles we could. So we're looking forward to that. I did want to give a little bit of information because this kind of does flow really well with kind of the Who We Are series that we've been on for the past little while. And we talk about who we are and why we exist. And we just say we exist to make disciples who love God, love one another, and love the city. And it's funny, a few weeks ago, I was down at MUSC with one of our folks that was, their kid was having surgery, and the granddad was there, and he asked me about what we call the Great Commission. And we view the Great Commission as kind of two passages, Matthew 28, which we read already, and Acts chapter 1:8. And in Acts chapter 1:8, same scene, but from a slightly different vantage point, it says, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but this is what you do need to know. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth.'" We consider that to be just as much a part of the Great Commission, in which it says, therefore, as a result of everything we've seen and heard and experienced with Jesus, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all ethnos, of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you and understand that I will be with you through it all. Not me, Jesus. That's the Great Commission. And so when we talk about making disciples, a couple things we need to understand, like we make disciples where we are, okay? As we're made into disciples, we seek to make other disciples where we are. And Jerusalem, where we stand, Judea, kind of looking out at the region where you can see Samaria to the place where they hate you, you hate them. We may have some of those places still. And then to the ends of the earth, as far as we can possibly imagine. And the question that the grandfather had for me a few weeks ago, he was like, "Do you think I'm being disobedient if I haven't gone to the ends of the earth?" It's a great question. Because we want to ask, like, we're called to make disciples, like Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And I think what we have to understand, again, we say it a lot, context is key, context is everything. When Jesus was on the side of the mountain overlooking Jerusalem, and he was like, "You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to tell of what you've seen, tell of what you've heard, tell of what you've experienced. You're going to start right down there. Right down there, and then you're going to go a little bit further, kind of where the horizon ends in your eyes, and then you're going to go to that place where they hate you, you hate them, and then beyond the horizon, as far as you can imagine, you're going to go." The thing was, he was saying, "Y'all." Okay, now this is, we need to be understand, pretty much any time he gave commandments in the New Testament, he was speaking to plural you, y'all, us's, the we's, all those kind of things. Now, it does have direct impact on me and you, because your neighborhood is your Jerusalem. Okay, your workplace is your Jerusalem. Our city, our state, that's kind of our Judea. You know, we can extrapolate as far as we want to. But as a collective, as a church family, as a church body, we need to make sure that we have our hands in all of those places to the best of our ability. And with our hands come the gospel. Okay, we want to make sure that we are in the Jerusalem, the Judea, the Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so as a church, when we started to evaluate, when we were kind of growing beyond that area of church plant, and when we were no longer worried about every single month, would we be here the next month kind of a thing. Like I can look at Abram. Abram remembers those days. Like, hey, are we going to do this next month? Maybe, we'll see. You know, we're a little bit beyond that now. And so several years ago, we started asking, like, what does it look like for us to take this gospel that God's planted in me to the ends of the earth? What does that look like? Because we had been to some very tropical places like Canada. We had been there and we had had some partnerships there. We had been to more tropical places like Stockholm, Sweden. We had been there, but we were like, long-term partnership, what does it look like? And so in connection for me with the Great Commission, I also think of Matthew chapter 5. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and he told his followers at the time, he was teaching them truths that they would need to hear. He said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see the good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We just started to ask the question, how do we take that, the saltiness that God's given us, that adds value, that maintains, that keeps things precious, that is a very valuable commodity, and also light that points people towards truth. How do we take that to other places, do it consistently in a way that matters and is meaningful and is not just a one hit, we go and we leave? And the answer for us was Food for the Hungry. Food for the Hungry is an interesting, beautiful organization that, if you've ever read Toxic Charity or When Helping Hurts, two great books that are kind of on this same idea or on this vein, like it's kind of, you can give a man a fish or teach a man to fish kind of an idea. Like, they want to go into a community in which poverty is seen and felt in all ways, spiritual poverty, health poverty, educational poverty, financial poverty. And they say, we want to help you and love you in such a way, share the saltiness that we have as a result of Jesus, share the light that's been shown to us. And we want to share it with you in such a way that we can leave and you can continue. And then you can help the neighborhood next to you. And so Food for the Hungry does such a great job for that. And that's the reason we believe in the partnerships that we have with them. It's the reason we believe in the sponsorships, which you're going to hear some interesting stories about that today, too. And one of the things that they say is, like, they're going to attack poverty from all directions, spiritual, health, financial, all of those things. And they want to not just give them something, but they want to impart to them something, which is a big difference. They actually want to convey the truth that they know into them. And they ask local churches and organizations to partner with them in doing so. And we've been blessed since 2019 to partner with them. They have an entrance strategy and an exit strategy, which is pretty crazy too. And that might be a little bit sad for us, but child sponsorships can continue. But they want us to be able to come in, help them get some things going, instill in them the truth of the gospel, the value that God has for them, how to get education, how to keep finances going, all of those things that they need to be self-sufficient. And then they view a day in which we can say, okay, we're done. You've done great. You've graduated. We're going to leave you. God bless you. We'll continue to pray for you, but we've done all that we need to do. And so that's a scary but exciting thing that they offer. Today, you're going to get to hear from several of our folks who got to go, and you're going to hear several things. But here's the other thing. When we evaluated this, we could not divest ourselves from this notion that we exist to make disciples and be discipled too. And so we wanted to make sure that this partnership with FH, it wasn't just good for Kakapec. You know, and that it's not a selfish thought, but we wanted to make sure that everyone that we sent, everyone that we partnered, God would use that to grow them, to shape them, to mold them, to make them look more and more like Jesus. And if you ask anyone that's been every single year, talk to Abby, talk to the Kaisers, and there's several more that are going and sent going every single year, but you talk to them and ask them, what has God done with you or through you, in you, because of this? And they'll have a long list. And so, yes, it is about Kakapec, but it's also about Origins. And so we're grateful for that partnership and grateful for them. I'm going to pray for this team because I know that they're all natural public speakers. So I want them to rein it in. And then we're going to get to hear from them for just a little bit. God, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you so much for the gospel that goes before us, the gospel that's bigger than us, the kingdom that's bigger than Origins. And Father, we pray that your name is made great through these efforts. Even if we do cease to exist next month, God, I pray that your kingdom would continue to grow. God, thank you that you've placed us on a mission that you created beforehand, and you've put us there. And one of those, Father, is to take your name, to take the salt that you've placed in us, the light that you've given us, and share it with the world. Thank you for our dozen people that got to go a couple weeks ago to Guatemala, and love those people in the name of Jesus. Thank you for what you did to the people in Kakapec, but God, thank you for what you did to those in our family. We love you. We thank you. And it's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. We've got a video to show. I'm going to kill some lights.
Do we need one more? That might be a good thing. Say when. All right. I told myself on the way here that I was going to try to get through this without crying, and I couldn't. I couldn't even get to this point without crying. So, I've been blessed to be able to go four times, and Matthew made the comment about what it's done. Like, I knew these two when they were in diapers, and then I got to go to Guatemala with them. And just the reflecting since we've gotten back. Edgar was the first child that I sponsored, and when I sponsored him, he was a pitiful looking little thing. Like, he was just, I saw it in his eyes, and I sponsored him, and to be honest with you, at this point, like, he's a beefcake. Like, he's 15 years old and athletic and beautiful, and just, I mean, he's great at soccer. And and since then, just my love for the mission and going again and again. We sponsored Yvonne, and Yvonne is actually different than Edgar because he plays worship in the church on a little turtle shell, and he's just a very, very humble and sensible guy, and we loved him so much. And then Tina and I together have been, this is our third time together, and last year there was a little girl, Kendi, that attached herself to Tina, so we felt drawn to sponsor Kendi. And I mean, we go to Michigan to see my kids, we go to different states to see Tina's kids, and now I feel like we go to Guatemala to see our kids. And the family and the love that you get from those people. I told Abby, this is going to sound like a PSA, but like, if there's a thought in your head that this is something that you want to do, like, pray about it, because it has changed my life. It really has. Brought me to a degree of humble that I didn't think I could ever go. Those that know me best know that that's something. And I just, God reveals himself every single time. And the relationships that you build there, the relationships that you build with the people in this church that become family. I mean, just, I don't know. I recommend it. I really do. It's an amazing thing. So 4 years, three kids, no looking back. And I can tell you that there were times in my life, well, a lot of my life, that I lived week to week. I didn't know how my bills were going to get paid. And God called me to sponsor three kids in Cacupec, Guatemala. I have no idea where the money comes from, but I don't worry about it. It's always there, and God is good. And I'm pretty sure I'm probably at the end of my time, so I'm going to hand the mic off to this amazing little girl.
So I'm going to share a bit about VBS today. So at VBS, we did a little skit on the prodigal son, and we taught the kids and mostly just Cacupec in general, that God does not love you less if you do bad things, but he does not love you more if you do good things. And he rejoices if you repent to him. At VBS, we made necklaces, played games, and did face painting and most of all, built relationships with the kids there. I did face painting along with Anna, Kip, and Ellie. I enjoyed painting the kids' faces, and it was very special to me when my sponsor kid came up to me and asked me to paint his face, because it was just like we built a bond that was never going to break. I learned that I should be glad and grateful for what I have and what I don't have to do, because these kids climb up mountains every day, and have so little, yet they give us so much. And they're so happy and content, and that just breaks my heart. For this trip, I was so worried that I was going to be too weak or too young to make an impact at all. But one day at VBS, I realized that my way of making an impact was being with the kids and praying with them and their families. This was my first mission trip, and I will forever remember it.
So this is our little, like, first mission trip group right here. And so it was really cool to have the privilege of going on this trip. I didn't really know what to expect, and I just kind of went along for the ride. And kind of like what Matthew touched on, it was very clear very early on why each of us was on that trip and what God was doing in us and also through us. For FH team, for praying for the people of Cacupec, to uplifting that community. It was an amazing trip. And the thing I wanted to touch on was our visit to the health center. This is something that they visited in the past years and helped with a bit on one of the projects. But just trying to uplift this community in every way. God is our healer. He is our redeemer. And making sure that these people know their health is of huge importance to their ability to work, to be educated, to worship. And so to be able to meet up with Franklin and Gladys, two of the nurses there, and kind of learn kind of what they're struggling with as well as what's going well. I think there's a good amount of people now that are getting interested in learning more about their health. While we were there, we saw one of the special case girls and her mom there, and then one of the sponsor kids and her younger sister. And so it was cool to see people kind of using this resource. It is a smaller building, so every space is multifunctional. And that's one thing that they're struggling with a little bit is just being able to have a clean space where they can weigh babies and have a spot designated to have, you know, private time to talk to someone about their health and their nutrition and hygiene, and to have the resources that they need to help these people in the ways that they can. Oftentimes they need to help them get to another place like San Juan Chamelco and make sure that they can get the actual help that they need from the hospital. But oftentimes with transportation or money or time, they're not able to do those things. And so the more things that they can do in town and the more they can educate people that they need those resources is going to be a huge, huge benefit to that community. So right now they're mapping out who all lives in Cacapec. They were about 70% done with the mapping when we were there. About 300 homes and 350 families in Cacapec. And they're trying to kind of get the word out about their help, that they can help these people with their health and make sure that anyone that needs help, they can also go to those homes and make sure that they can help them there. And so just praying for them, being the hands and feet of Jesus and making sure that they can be uplifted in any way they can so that they're more independent and able to worship God in every way.
Hi. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the sponsor visits. So it was really cool to see all the sponsor kids, and I thought it was amazing that they don't have as much as we do, and we are very privileged to have things, and it was very, I felt like I was, after this trip, I was gonna be more happy and a little more grateful for what I have instead of wanting more. And I did that a lot before the trip, and I feel like I feel like I've changed through that trip, and it was the most amazing trip, and I loved the VBS, and it was the most amazing time that I've ever had.
This thing sounds hot. Good morning. Oh, where to begin? Some of you know a little bit of my story. I've spent some time on the mission field, so this trip for me was, I don't know, almost like a coming home. So it was amazing. It was amazing to have Ellie along and just to see the growth in her and how much it impacted her. It was really a highlight, especially for the first timers. It was really cool to see how God used them and everything. And the sponsor kids. We have a new sponsor kid because our other one dropped off. So it was a little different situation for us because we didn't have a relationship with ours. So, but getting that established, I think, is going to be pretty exciting going forward, because then we'll be able to, you know, keep going back and seeing him, hopefully, Lord willing. But yeah, it was amazing. I definitely recommend it. It's life-changing, puts things into perspective. Just being able to pray with people, sing with people over there, the same God, same heart. It's amazing.
Cool. So this was my third time going back, and each year is always something new, like Matthew was saying. But this year specifically was really cool, just being able to go and, like, with it being your third time, you get off the bus and they knew my name right away. And it's just so humbling in that, because it's like you don't see them for a year, but yet they remember your name. And just going to the sponsor visits, kind of like Ellie was saying, is just a huge blessing to be able to go into their home, and very humbling at the same time to see what they, how they live and how much we have. It's just really mind-blowing. But if you have a sponsored child and you are able to go, you should go. Because it just makes it real, because you can write letters to them throughout the year and you can see their picture, but you can go and meet them and see them, talk to them, see their smile and hug them and like just be there with them. It just really makes it real, and just to see everything that they go through and live with. So what I learned, what God taught me this time is, so when you get there, again, like the kids, they know your name, and then they just kind of attach themselves to you. They want to be around you. And then like, as you're walking through the village, they are walking beside you, and they just don't really leave. And as cool as that is, it just really reminded me of like having that childlike faith that we're called to. So I'm going to read Matthew 18, 1-4. It says, At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So it's just a great reminder to pursue Jesus like a child. For me personally, like, my relationship with Jesus hasn't been like where it should, just because like I've been, just life happens. I got busy and like with finishing up school and everything. So like I was reading a lot of scripture and doing all that, but like I wasn't pursuing Jesus with that childlike faith. And so that was just a great reminder this time. And then lastly, last thing I'll say is, like, God opened my eyes this time to, like, yes, we go down there to see and be in the village of Kakipek and bring Jesus to them. And we also, like, yes, it's for us too, but at the same time, like, the FH workers there are there weekly. And so we, yes, we go for a week, but we also, like, we're there to support them is a huge part of it that I just didn't realize before. And so it's just really cool to be able to talk with the FH leaders, whether it's the translators or whatever, and just talk with them, pray with them, see what's going on in their lives too. I just haven't been intentional with that in the past couple of years, so that was really cool to do this year.
I want to speak a little bit about the home visits. When you go to their homes, they are like us. They prepare the house, they clean our house, and they bring out how we do. We bring out the finest for our family and our friends, and they don't have very much, but they give like all that they have. And it's just a wonderful thing. And as they've all said, the privilege of going like this on a long-term basis has developed such close ties with them, and they are like family. And when we go there, it's like we go home to visit relatives that we haven't seen in a year. That's how it feels to me. I'm going home to see children that I miss and the families, and they're so honoring. And I want to speak a little bit about FH. Something I learned this year, and I thought it before, but it really came home to me, is I love when you do teach a man to fish, they don't just give money. They don't give things. They teach them to garden, the women to nurture their children, the women to have a bank. They teach them how to live and to prosper. And that's the gospel, because the gospel is the good news, and the good news sets us free. And the Lord said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, and it should be knowledge of body, soul, and spirit. And I think FH does an amazing job at that, just to give a shout out to them. And we're so, so, so blessed to be able to go and to have the privilege of loving on these people and sharing the good news.
Yeah, so this is my second year back. It was really cool to go for the second time and experience things that were the same, but in a little bit of a different light, because I knew somewhat more what to expect. And I wanted to speak a little bit more on FH and what they're doing in the village. Specifically, on Thursday, the last day in the village, before we left, they did a violence prevention class at the middle school, but it was for high schoolers, and some other kids sat in on it too. And just, I think for me, some of the classes and things that FH was able to teach are maybe things we take for granted, that we might learn either in school or is maybe a little bit more common knowledge. I'm maybe a little more sheltered too, so I might just think that, but it was really cool to see them sit some high schoolers down. Not a lot showed up, but the few that did, just sit them down and explain five different types of violence that is common and seen in Kakapek. You know, things that we see here as well, but also some things that maybe we don't experience as much. So I just kind of wanted to speak a little bit more about that class. So one of the FH workers spoke on psychological violence, physical violence, sexual violence, economic violence, and patrimonial violence. So obviously this was translated from Spanish to English, so I don't know if maybe we think of these differently, but she went through each type of violence and had pictures and gave us time to kind of reflect as we as she spoke on them. And then at the end, we split up into five different groups, and we each got to have one type of violence to speak about and to try to think of like practical solutions for that, how the high schoolers specifically or people in the community can be proactive to, you know, stop those violences from happening, or if you see it, you know, say something about it. And so the group I was a part of was Taylor and Ellie, and we got to speak about economic violence, which was really a tricky one for me, because it's just not something that I thought of as a violence. And basically the way that she explained it is, an example is the husband in the home goes to work and the mom stays home and watches the kids. So the husband's making all the income and he does not provide enough to the mother to take care of the kids or the home, basically is, you know, selfish with that income. So that's the type of violence that she was explaining. And for me, I was a little bit stumped when we were giving, you know, supposed to give some solutions for the problem or ways to prevent it. And I was like, this is not something that I knew was even a type of violence, because in America, a lot of times the husband and wife both work and provide income for the family. Or if not, I just didn't realize, like, you know, trade keeps all the money from me, you know, what do I do? Right. So it was really eye-opening for me to think about it that way. Like, if the mom does not have enough to provide for the kids in the home, you know, what's she left with? And it, one of the solutions that we wanted to bring up was, well, she could get a job and then provide income. And one thing they explained to us is a lot of times that's just not culturally the way that they do things. The mom stays home and provides for the kids. She can't go out and get a job, or the husband doesn't want her to get a job, so she's not even allowed. And I think that was just really hard for me to hear, you know, because there's just no other option. So that was really a tricky one. You know, we tried to come up with some solutions, but really what impacted me the most through it was hearing what the high schoolers came up with for their, I think they had physical violence, or some other team members had, just really practical ways. And I just was really impacted by what FH is doing to educate kids at a young age so that the next generation can grow up and, you know, do things better and start new trends and be better educated so that they don't carry on these things unknowingly. So I'm really grateful for what FH is doing and what part we get to play in it.
Good morning. I'm Trey. You weren't supposed to know that. I'm just kidding. So what I'd like to share about, I have three things, so I don't go on and on. My three things, the number one thing that I want to share with you is the amazing amount of growth that has happened. Anna and I got to go back for our second year this year. And the big thing that I noticed was you look around and these projects that you saw last year that were red clay, barely started, they're finished. They're taken care of. And so FH has come in and they've done a great job of teaching and growing this community, and you can see it visually, which is pretty amazing. And so, you know, and another place that I saw that was in the women's financial group. I thought that was pretty neat. I'm a banker, and so getting to come in and listen to how they've learned how to save money, the education that FH has come in and done with them, it's pretty amazing. I think Kelly and Rob are gonna, they gave us a video, so they're gonna kind of hit on that a little bit, but just the amount of education that FH has poured into this community is absolutely amazing. And then I have two quick stories, and they both kind of point towards the same thing. And so on the first day when we were there, we had gone way up this mountain, and I was very much out of breath. I was 100% at the back of the pack, and I was walking with one of the translators that translated from Spanish to Quechi. I don't speak Spanish. I don't speak Quechi, but we were talking. We were having a conversation. We were using Google Translate, which was great. And we talked the whole way up there, and we were talking the whole way back. And he paused, and he looked at me. And this guy, his name's Danier. I met him last year, and he's hilarious. He called me a little bit big when I was out of breath last year, and I thought it was hilarious. And so we had a good relationship. But he stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, "You are my friend." And that there, you know, we're going into these communities. We're also spending time with the people who are pouring into the community. And there's something amazing about that. You know, you are my friend. And I looked down and said, "You're my friend too, Danier. I appreciate you." He probably didn't understand the appreciate part, but he understood. He's my friend. And I think he said it to me maybe three more times throughout the trip, which was pretty amazing. And the next story is about the child that we get to sponsor, Chayton. We got to go and sit, and we actually learned while we were down there that Tina and Kip's kid that they sponsor, and Chayton, our child that we sponsor, are brother and sister. And so we got to sit in on that meeting, and the first thing we did was we introduced ourselves. And I introduced myself. I said, "My name's Trey," and they translated it. And when the mom heard that, her face, she made this face, and I'll never forget it. It was just, she lit up, and it translated back to me, and she said, "Oh, you're the Trey that my children have talked about playing with for the past year." And I kind of crumbled a little bit there, to understand that we come in and we get to spend time with these kids. We get to go play soccer. We get to do VBS. We get to go to these home visits, and they remember you for the entire year, and beyond that. I mean, it's amazing the impact that this opportunity to go to Cacapec, what it does for the community, what it does for us, the relationships that we get to build. So I'd encourage you, if there's even a sliver of the thought like, "Man, this sounds kind of cool. I think that'd be fun to go do." I encourage you to continue to think about it.
Thank you, Kelly and Rob. I think I shared with you all a couple weeks ago about our trip and, you know, we always have a project heading into it. Sophie gave you a little update on the health center. That was our very first project in 2019, helping to carry those foundational rocks down the mountain. And we had a ceremony, and by the time we went back, there it was. And heading into this year, there's new leadership in the community, and they just were not in agreement about what they wanted the project to do. And, you know, they were having trouble agreeing on who it was going to benefit. And so heading into this week, I felt kind of scattered, you know, and it just did not feel like our typical trip. And in the end, we really didn't do anything for the project while we were there. But we learned that part of our project that they will do is building a retaining wall at the school kitchen, because when it rains, the mud just goes right into the school. So building that wall, and then also delivering egg-laying hens to 60 families. So, and that's pretty big. And those will be families that have children under 5 years old to provide protein and food for them. But this was kind of a strange year for me. And I debated on whether or not to say that or what I should say, but I feel like it's okay. And to give you all a visual of reality and how God can still use that. You know, at the beginning of the week, our schedule changed. But we regrouped and we refocused. And at some point in the beginning of the week, I read Romans 5, 1 through 5 to our team, and I would like to read that to you all. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of glory. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint or put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And I shared with our team that, you know, missions is a lot about going and doing. And you're like, okay, what are we going to do? Because you feel like you're going to offer your talents and your abilities and your things that you're good at to these people. But a big thing for me and what Matthew shared a little bit is, you know, it's also about our discipleship journey. And it's about the discipleship journey for everybody we come in contact with the Food for the Hungry guys, with our translators, with our leaders, with the sponsor children, with their parents, with their grandparents, with the kid, with everybody. And so, you know, we talked about, like, we suffered a little bit at the beginning of the week. But that suffering produces character in us. Character that pushes us to look, you know, we talk a lot here at Origins about looking, taking that one step closer to looking like Jesus. So what does that produce in us? You know, it produced a lot, I tell you. But we made it through. And so to really reflect on that during the day or during the week of how we are looking more like Jesus. Because our schedule changed at the beginning of the week, you know, that rearranged our whole week. We missed some meetings. Some meetings were rescheduled. And I prayed at the beginning of the week, like, God, please help whoever needs to be in that meeting, be there. Be in, if it's the right people in the right place. And another part of this week being different was, like, to me, it felt like it was a ghost town. There were like no adults anywhere all week. It was just kids running free. And I'm like, where is everybody? But they were busy with other things going on and they had meetings. There were a group of kids had a soccer tournament out of town, so they were gone. And it was just weird. And our VBS supply bag and some other things that we had was left at the Greenville airport. And so they got it to us, but it was a couple of days late. But this, you would have never known it. Our team filled in the gaps and nobody thought twice about it. People who I expected to be in meetings, you know, Taylor talked about, like, you get off the bus and they know you. I'm like, who, where are the people who know me? Where'd they go? You know, and that the people you expect to be in meetings are not there. But God answered my prayers through that in multiple ways, and still nobody knew the difference. The people, you know, on our team who had never been there didn't know the difference. And Kathy Rastatter, she sponsored a boy a few years ago who wanted to quit school. If you, you can't be a sponsor kid. You can only be a sponsor kid if you're in school. If you quit school, you're out. And so he wanted to quit school because he needed to work for his family. And Kathy's just, you know, distraught. And so he, a couple years ago, quit school. And she's been worried about him since. His younger brother had some health issues, and she's been so worried about him. And we were hiking up the mountain, and I was like, oh, this is on the way to Bama's kid and Kathy's. And we're like, oh, this is right where it was. And I'm like, oh, can we go in there and check? And we're like, no, we don't have time. And then we go to the volunteer meeting, volunteer mother meeting, the savings group, at the beginning of the week. That would have been all nine of the women, but this, because it was rescheduled, there was one woman. I'm like, shh. But there was that one woman, and then a mother who was given a testimony about how this group benefited her. And it was Kathy Rastatter's sponsor child's mother and had the little baby with him. I'm like, ah, you know, so I got to get an update on the sponsor kid and the health of the baby brother, and everybody's good and he's happy. And yes, he dropped out of school, but he's working and he's happy and it's all good. But just seeing how God answered those prayers throughout. Another answered prayer, Miss Tina's spirit was a little low at the beginning of the week. And that first day, they were scheduled to see their one of their sponsor kids, you know, one of the 10 that they have. Yeah. And, you know, that morning I just prayed that God would renew her spirit. Which kid is this? I can keep them straight. Yvonne. Okay. So last year when we went to Yvonne's visit, they go all out when we go. She cooks stuff for us and decorate, and I like, it's so nice. Yes. And so when we left last year, she let us know that she was pregnant. And so when they went this year, I'm so mad that I missed this meeting. I was in another one. But they went, and the baby's birthday was the day before. So they waited to celebrate with Kip and Tina. And they had a cake, and they decorated and had banners. And it was beautiful. And they named the baby after Tina. And so there's a little... there's a little Guatemala Tina running around khaki peg. But just, you know, like, this trip was different and it was hard. It wasn't what I expected or what I wanted it to be. But at the same time, you know, I was praying the whole time that God would still be where he needed to be. And to have that full faith that he would still work and be in the meetings where, have the right people at the right place at the right time, despite my expectations and how I wanted it to look for the village and for our team and what I wanted them to experience. But God still answered all of our prayers. And I'm so thankful to experience that. I can't see my notes to see what I'm supposed to say next. And so even though it wasn't typical, it was still good. And I think, you know, in our own lives to remember that when God isn't meeting our expectations, like he's still at work and we need to pay attention to where that is and what he's doing and be involved in that and be thankful at the same time. But, you know, we talk about this being part of our discipleship journey. And it's very true about what God is doing in our lives. What character is he making to make me look more like Jesus? And that's part of going on a mission trip. You know, we have our daily lives here where we're in the Word or with our Christian brothers and sisters, or we're serving at work or wherever that God is building our character. And this is another avenue to do that. But an important part of it too, like, what do you all do? What is your response? What is our response going forward? And a big part of that is sponsored kids. You know, and one thing that I push in our visits is, it's hard because the visits, it's translated twice. English to Spanish, Spanish to Kechi, and then back again. So it's long. You forget what you just said. You forget what you're going to say next, and you don't know what's going on. But you know, I encourage us to, like, push our conversation further to make it into a spiritual conversation. You know, you get letters every month or every few months that's like, my favorite color is blue. I play soccer. I'm in the fifth grade. I like to draw. And it's the same letter every month, right? Pretty similar. But when you respond back, like, push that conversation. How are your parents? What are you doing in church? What is your favorite thing to do in the community? Like, think about how you can push that conversation next, because you are discipling that child. Their parents read it. You're discipling their whole family. And through that, too, we have access to the Food for the Hungry staff, and they do such a great job. And one other thing that I'll say is we always take a gift for our translators, for Amalia, who works with me all throughout the year, the whole year long, and the Food for the Hungry staff who are there every week and teach the classes and work with the kids and work with the families and all that. And this year, I mean, I usually take like something like Greenville or South Carolina, or I'm like, I don't know what to take this year. And Sophie was like, well, what about Hourglass? I'm like, oh, what a great idea. And so when we went to worship with them, you know, I was able to explain what our hourglass symbolizes and of Jesus pouring into us so that we can pour into others and just keep flipping that over and over and over. And so, you know, as you move forward and what your response can be with a sponsor kid, or if you already have one, if you're interested in going on a trip next year, or our own city missions, you know, think about how you can constantly be flipping that hourglass and pouring into other people. Thank you.